Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 98, Episode 3 of Your Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. with the burps, I'll swig this Mountain Dew. And with the burps, I'll swig this Mountain Dew. And with the burps, I'll swig this Mountain Dew. Courtesy of Wide Awake at 3:45 a.m. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
What we got to give it to Obama. What we got to skim it from the top. What we got to keep it from robots. We do it on a planet that we think is getting hotter. Realize we don't want womanizer. Don't jive with a corporate advertiser. Cold blood is the common divisor. How come everybody wanna be a colonizer? Miles of Gray, Miles of Gray, Miles of Gray now.
Wow.
I think that was my favorite AKA.
Somebody just... Look, sometimes you ask for these themed AKAs and people just tap into something. That's from Wide Awake at 3:45 a.m.
Oh, damn. Double tap.
Give it away.
For him.
Oh, that was you too?
Yeah, that was me too.
Exacta to whoever you may be, Wide Awake.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Marcela Arguello.
I'm already ready to leave. This is a lot. This
Arguello,
this
is Marcella
what
I say, and now you're really ready to go.
Oh, no.
Have you been?
That's me walking away.
Yeah.
Nice. Foley artist and a talented comedian.
I'm very good. Thank you for asking. I've been very busy. Yeah. Very tired. Yeah, yeah. I got 8 hours of sleep. I'm very happy right now.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you average? What you been averaging?
Oh, not a lot. Just because I was moving around. I was doing some shows in North Carolina, and I went to a wedding, and I went to surprise my niece for a birthday party. So I'm like, yeah, it wasn't a lot. I was traveling back and forth. So it was. Last night, I think I finally caught up.
Okay, you're the TT of the year, huh?
Yeah, I am the tia.
Where did you have to go to surprise your niece?
To Stockton, California.
Stockton, hey, sunny Stockton.
209 till I die.
Is it the same as Modesto?
209, yeah.
Okay,
from
out
Modesto,
here.
But we're in Stockton. My sister's in Stockton, so yeah. You guys have the Google question. This goes with that.
Okay, well we'll get to it in one moment.
But I was dressed. I dressed up as a Ghostbuster.
Oh, really?
For my niece, because she's obsessed.
With Ghostbusters. With Ghostbusters.
She's like obsessed with 84 Halloween.
84 Ghostbusters? Or,
no, no. The, well, move. Actually all of it, but, you know, because she's the a girl, remake. So yeah, she's yeah. like super into the girls one. Too. But she's into all of them. But she's just obsessed with Halloween.
Yeah.
Which is, like, cool. Cause, like,
oh, like loves costumes?
Just, or like, just like likes the creepiness and weirdness of Halloween. Shit. Like Halloween. And, like, if we do a dance party, she's like, I'm going to put on the Halloween Pandora station. And then we're Damn. Just, like, dancing to Thriller a lot.
You sound How like a she? Very fun aunt.
I am a very fun aunt. It's true. That's why I'm tired.
All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Kroger and Walmart leading the gun control charge, which is an unfortunate sentence for our republic. We're going to talk about Trump supporters, where they get their support from, where psychologically it comes from. We're going to talk about Trump allies raising funds to go after journalists. We're going to talk about some things.
So exciting.
In
so
international
excited.
Politics that are giving us hope. And all of that and plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Marcella, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
So because I've been working so much, there's like nothing that exciting. But I did have to Google Ghostbusters because I had to like try to remember what the lyrics were.
Mm-hmm. Those are the lyrics, right?
Yeah, those are the only lyrics.
When there's
they
something
provide.
Strange
yeah,
in your neighborhood.
Something strange.
But that's where it ends. In the yeah. neighborhood, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Now I'm out.
Yeah, that's it.
I've tapped. I've
that's all you need, though.
Yeah,
if you're
right?
surprising children at a birthday party, that's really all you need.
Did you dress up?
Yeah, I was dressed up as a Ghostbuster. I went to Party City. I bought a men's one-size-fits-all.
Jumpsuit.
And apparently it doesn't fit everybody, but
oh,
I
really?
Fit great in it. And I guess people
Damn.
Were complaining about how long it was.
Right.
And it was perfect for me because I'm 6'2".
Would you rock it outside of a Ghostbusters context?
No.
Okay, so it looks like a full-on Ghostbusters jumpsuit.
I mean, it has a little logo on the side with the ghost.
Yeah, so maybe for a Halloween
show. And it
has like
an inflatable pack, which was really fun to play with
oh.
and smack some of the kids around. One of my nieces doesn't like me, so I was like hitting her with it. I was like running. I was like, oh, I have to get inside. And I just went, she got past me and just boom. And she was like, ow. I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you.
Oh, I didn't see you, man. The Ecto pack has a mind of its own.
I just realized I know more lyrics from Ghostbusters 2 theme song, the Bobby
oh, really?
Brown song, than the Ghostbusters original theme
oh,
song.
Oh, yeah, the whole rap.
Yeah,
right.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to...
They call the Ghostbusters and the M-Patrol?
Don't ask me, man.
You're the one who said you knew it.
Yeah, okay.
Don't be
Why
humble
don't you
now.
Google it, yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
You know what I think is overrated? Paying too much for food.
Okay.
I really... Because I spent a lot of time on the road,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, this isn't worth what you're saying it's worth.
Right.
And it drives me nuts, because it's also, it's like, people who think, I mean, there are some items, like, I think fish, you know, it's such a...
It's worth the money.
It is worth the money, because of all the work that you put into it, but there's some things where I'm like, I don't, this is, and it's always, like, the smaller foods items. Like
a shared plates restaurant?
Yeah, or like salads that don't come with carbohydrates. Like,
right.
why is this $15?
Right. They're like, well, good question.
Yeah, they don't care.
Funny.
And then I'm hungry.
Ask.
And then you have to order a side. I think that's overrated.
Yeah.
Vic's sick and tired of paying
rent.
Way too, yeah,
you're paying their rent is what
you're paying
doing.
Exactly. You're paying their rent, and I hate it because, especially in Los Angeles, it's ridiculous because you do travel. You're like, yeah, this is what breakfast should cost, less
right.
than $10.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's also transportation of the food, because LA has all the best produce and, you know,
I don't think so, because it's in California, so it should
right.
actually be cheaper for us.
It's just because
you're
more...
saying LA is also expensive.
Oh, LA
oh, yeah,
is the
LA's
worst.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Overpriced.
There's so many places you go and you're like, that look like you're like, damn, this is going to be a good meal. And
yeah.
then you're eating like, this is mediocre as fuck.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm really just paying because y'all wanted to put all this reclaimed fucking barn wood up from
sure.
wherever you sourced it.
And the worst is when you have to like wait in line for it. I never wait in lines for
oh,
food.
Fuck,
I feel like
no.
that really upsets me.
Mm.
I'll
also
wait in
overrated.
Line if it's like a taco truck.
Okay.
That's a line waiting type of transaction.
But that's debatable because it depends on the time. Yeah, at 2 a.m. there probably is a line. But
yeah,
like
yeah,
in the
yeah.
afternoon, that's when you should be hitting that taco truck.
Right. But yeah, I guess there is something. Yeah, I'm totally put off by lines. There's a few places like around me that aren't necessarily overpriced, but they have like the one item that everyone wants at the same time. And I'm always like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not
I remember one
it.
Time in San Francisco, it wasn't my choice. I was hanging out with friends who were like, we're going to this restaurant no matter how long the wait is. And I hated it because I hate waiting in line for food.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these sandwiches. I don't even, they're like breakfast sandwiches. They weren't that good. It, standing in line for a sandwich is the whitest shit I've ever done. That's not true. I got fucked in a vineyard once.
That is pretty white.
That's pretty white now. Yeah. Yeah. That's the whitest.
Were you wearing a linen shirt?
I wish.
Yeah, then it would have, that's a white multiplier. Mm-hmm. You would add to that score.
That's true.
Do you get hangry? Is that why you don't like
Oh,
me?
Yeah.
I was about to say, yeah, I get crazy. I feel like we're from the same planet.
I start dying. I'm so thin.
Because your metabolism is like,
your body's just eating your vital organs.
Yes, I'm literally dying. That's why I can't. I always have snacks in the car. Like right now, I have a piece of fruit for when I leave here.
Dang. Mm.
Yeah.
What kind of fruit?
A peach.
A peach. Peaches are good right now.
Yeah.
They're so good.
The best.
I know.
I always ask this. You ever have a July flame peach?
What's that?
There's a part of the peach growing season. I learned this from eminent pie maker, Nicole Rucker. There's a peach called, she makes a July flame peach that is there's a week in July that's especially hot, and that affects the fruit of like 1 week or maybe a section of the month, but it's typically in July when it's the hottest in these certain areas, and the peach becomes like red and very sweet.
Oh.
And it's very unique to this one time. I'm like, damn, that's a flex for fruit.
Yeah.
And right. So when when the pie comes out, they're like, you want this pie? Because these peaches they're not always available. And they're only available for a very specific time during season. Delicious.
Mm.
If you're a peach eater. They told you that at a restaurant or the person who
personally made it? Yo, I learned this on you want to talk about some white shit? On KCRW.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, hello.
Wow.
Okay. KCRW is not overrated. That's a great place to learn shit.
Oh, yeah. Very, And that always sneaks up on you, that information.
Oh, man. Yeah. That sounds yummy. We grew up with a peach tree, orange tree garden, a vegetable garden. So, like, man, those peaches, when they're good, they're fucking good.
Exactly. Mm. There's nothing worse than like an unripe or just not banging peach. I don't know what it is, but it's
a Seinfeld
very
episode. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. My people's food, Salvadorian food.
Hey.
I think like not enough people know about Salvadorian food. And I think more people should learn about it because it's so good. And what's crazy is because people in El Salvador came to this country. They've been coming to this country, but there was a place in Chattanooga, Tennessee that was like an incredible place to find pupusas, which I didn't think would be possible. But it just proved that what matters is the person making them. And they were so good. They're some of the best pupusas I've ever had.
We were just screaming about pupusas last
year. Good.
Because I love pupusas.
They're so good. Yeah. I can make them. They're not like great, but I can make them. And it's nice. I can make the curtido and it's nice to eat.
Oh, I love curtido.
Like,
yeah.
It was also my mom, because my mom loves pupusas, but she also loves pizza. And then recently we were like, oh, yeah, pupusas are like pizza in Central America because it's the carb, it's the cheese, it's the sauce.
Yeah.
And then a meat maybe.
And what is your favorite pupusa? Like, what are the ingredients? Like, what are the kind of main components?
Yeah, that's the ground up pork with the beans and the cheese.
And then what's the base? What's the carb?
The corn flour. What's that shit called? The masa. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And it's just a perfect. It's also like what I love about them. You're supposed to eat them with curtido and salsa, which is delicious. But like, I do like when you have like day old pupusas and you can just like pack them to go. Again, food in the car that's easy to eat. It's always nice.
Also, they reheat really well.
Yeah,
because you can put that shit in a pan
quick
flip.
That's the best way to reheat them is on the
skillet.
Don't microwave that shit. And yeah, it's an easy reheat, and they're so good. They taste like they're not even old.
Also underrated, pan con pollo. Another Salvadoran dish.
Pan con chumpe. I can make that too, bitch.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's good. That turkey is good. It's a salsa. It's a mix of spices that makes the salsa really good, and it makes it real juicy.
Where do you get pupusas in L.A.? Where's your
favorite
spot?
There's a lady around the corner from where I live that sells them out of her house. She makes them so good. I'm in Highland Park. In Highland Park, there's a lot of ladies selling pupusas out of their house. So hopefully the white people don't call the cops on them anytime
you
soon.
See those signs that are like a non-vending zone.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that shit. It's like, dude, the vendors that will make this area great.
Shout out to my boy Mike, who's fighting to make street vending legal in LA.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's out here.
Hook me up with him. I want to know who he is. I want to support that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a lot of the stuff he was doing recently. Now he's moved on to homelessness. He's just like helping LA in every way. But
that's great. Good for him.
He had a huge, was part of the huge push to help legalize street vending in the city because it's one of the few places people can actually earn money like with their own skills versus without it being criminalized and like using these things. I'm like, it's unsanitary. And you're like, when you look at some of the numbers, a lot of these people are not poisoning people like the fucking restaurants
are. Right, exactly. Those overrated expensive restaurants.
Yeah.
Who's pushing to fight against the, is it just like local restaurants?
Yeah, and chambers of commerce who just don't, they're, you know, or neighborhood groups.
Chambers
like,
of white.
Give us
yeah,
a piece.
Just gentrifiers who are like, I don't know, like, it's weird that they're selling quesadillas like by the Echo Park.
Which is funny because then they go on their Twitter and they're like, oh my God, legalize immigrants.
Right,
legalize
exactly.
this
right.
and that. And those are usually those people.
Also, that woman who makes quesadillas by Echo Park, get onto that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds sorry, yummy.
Taking notes.
Yeah,
taking
notes.
Notes.
Echo Park.
He's
Lake,
left-handed.
Mm-hmm. Y me gusta no, no, las pupusas con curtido y salsa de tomate.
Pan con pollo.
Like a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
It's made with like a French baguette bread, and it's made with the turkey that's prepared Salvadoran style with its particular spices, and it's so juicy. And then it's like cucumbers, tomatoes, radishes, lettuce, mayonnaise. Oh, my God.
And if you go to the spot, get the drink, ensalada.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
The drink.
Wow, you know a lot.
Salad?
Oh, yeah, I used to date Salvadorian.
Oh, nice.
The drink is ensalada?
You yeah. love that pupusi, huh?
Yep, all up in it.
I can do
We're
it.
We're here.
And are we going to do a myth today?
No, I hate this section of your guys' show. I don't support it. I don't want to participate. I mean, I'm supposed to, like, what, myth bust the chupacabra? That doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh. I was actually hoping you would.
He's all fucked up now.
Myth bust the chupacabra.
I guess we'll never know.
Let's talk about Kroger and Walmart leading the gun control charge.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at a point where we have to rely.
Well, there's a way to look at this positively and cynically, like everything, right? Because, you know, right now we're obviously, there's tons of public outcry for background checks or any kind of, you know, meaningful gun legislation. But, you know, obviously the leadership on the right in general is not wanting to do anything about it. But if you're looking for the bare minimum from a private company, look no further than these two places, because Walmart just came out and said it's going to stop selling ammunition for military-style assault rifles and discourage customers from openly carrying guns in its stores, and would also call on Congress to increase background checks and consider an assault rifle ban from Walmart.
Now, this is after somebody shot like dozens of people to death in their store.
In a Walmart, right. And also even
and
another
like,
shooting
hey,
in
hey, could
Odessa?
You do us a favor and not carry these deadly weapons around openly in our store?
Yeah, Kroger was a little bit like, just don't bring them in, please.
Right.
I just want to
create
yeah,
Kroger,
a atmosphere
I was
of
curious
safety.
How they tied into the conversation.
Well, I mean, they own like Fred Meyer, which would sell ammunition. I think they cut down on their sales of ammunition a while back. But I guess in general, they're like, yo, nobody wants to go to the fucking grocery store and see you walking around with a wild ass gun.
Right.
On your hip or whatever, or slung
Unless
on your shoulder.
Unless you're going to do a duel for bananas or some shit.
Right. And if you do it in the dueling parking lot,
yeah.
away from
right.
the public, so no one
the
is
dueling
hurt.
Dueling aisle 16.
And duel with swords. Like,
yeah,
oh,
right,
man,
exactly, pussy.
Hot.
Yeah.
Duel with swords like they do. What was the last sword? Wasn't there a
it was
fucking
like in the
movie
60s.
About to come out?
Yeah, there's a movie that's going to come out that's about the last duel, and it took place in the 60s in France.
And it's like
they were just
Ben
like,
Affleck
okay,
or
you
some
guys
shit.
Murder each other. Yeah, I think it's going to be a
Damon
Affleck.
Does somebody have a gun?
Joint.
Is that what the story
yeah,
is?
The one
the
dude just cheats.
The last duel is some right, guy was like, yeah. I have a gun, you idiot.
He's like, are you for real? I'm aiming it right at you, man.
Yeah.
Don't get fucking, what I fucking tell you, Pierre? Bang!
He slaps the gun with his glove.
It was recent enough that there is black and white footage of the last duel. Like
oh,
these
really?
Dudes like fighting with swords.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wild the fuck out. But yeah, I think, you know, people were obviously applauding Walmart because they
Which
were,
is hilarious.
Yeah,
right.
Oddly
Yay.
Enough. But again, that's where the cynical view comes in, where people are saying, look, they also have an eye on their e-commerce business because
yeah.
clearly they've already destroyed middle America and rural
right.
towns with their big box stores. But it's their e-commerce business that they want to expand. And to get into that business, they need to appeal more to like coastal liberal neighborhoods. And so they feel like, you know, people are being like, well, this doesn't hurt their ambition to get into that market.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah,
look,
I mean,
at the very least, just do what's right.
It's almost like you don't need to even suggest that what they're doing has an alternative motive because they always like that. All corporations have like that decision was made in a boardroom. not by somebody who was like, what's the right thing to do?
Right.
Like, that
has
never happened
once.
What's
going to get us into the headlines?
Right. What's the most litty move we can do now?
Yeah. I hope that they get into customizing handguns. That'd be kind of fun. Walmart, you go into Walmart and you customize your own handgun.
It's like when you make your own house key.
Yeah.
Just place your gun in the tray. Choose your design.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Also on the right, the way that they are dealing with people pushing gun control is with paranoid freakouts. The top story on Drudge right now is social credit score to determine who can buy gun, and Amazon Echo and Apple Watch would flag neuropsychiatric violence. And those sources, InfoWars and The Daily Caller, I think.
Well, what shred of reality? Because they're always based, they just need a fucking pubic hair of truth,
right,
to then blow that up into a full-blown story. So what, is there anything to suggest that there's technology?
I think people are looking into ways that you can foresee that somebody is going to go on a violent rampage, for sure.
I would assume with an Apple Watch.
Some of the red flag laws are specifically aimed at if somebody has is saying certain things, you want to get guns out of their hands.
That's crazy, because then I won't be able to have a gun. I say some wild shit to myself just to be funny.
They're like, all right, Miss Arguello, we'll just check your Twitter.
Yeah,
what the
my Twitter
fuck?
Would definitely cancel me from having
a gun.
Okay,
the ATF is on their way.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's its own different type of discrimination.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that what they're doing with people's visas at the border. There was that one student who they denied or tried to deny his entry to Harvard. But then there was another report saying this is just a growing trend of them, of Customs and Border Patrol looking at people's social media feeds and what other people might be saying on their feeds and then holding them accountable.
Right.
They should put women in charge of these decisions.
Yeah.
Women are good deciders of which men are kind of loose.
I don't even think, they wouldn't even need to look at a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Just kind of look you up and down what's your favorite album?
That t-shirt.
Right. That t-shirt. A little too thin on the shoulders, you've been wearing it a lot.
A Nirvana t-shirt, I don't know.
I mean, In Utero was good, but...
there is apparently a HARPA, a Health Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Not to be confused with HARPO, Oprah's... HARPA.
Yeah.
Right.
Or DARPA.
Production
or DARPA,
company.
Right, which I think it is related. HARPA is the health wing of DARPA. But they're apparently putting together a proposal to develop a way to identify early signs of changes in people with mental illness that could lead to violent behavior. But again, this assumes that the problem is mental illness as opposed to the fact that people are allowed to have, things in their hands that if they press a button, it ends their life or the lives of other people.
I wonder, is that thing where they can measure changes in people? It's and the solution is to put microchips in their brains.
Oh, man, that's what's going to happen.
Or is it wearable tech?
Right. I mean, this
sounds implanted.
Things get dystopian very quickly if we insist on letting everybody have guns.
It's we'll keep the guns, but everyone has to get a fucking brain implant.
Right. They just need to be able to control our brains.
And that has a kill switch.
Yeah.
God, I was telling Miles before we started about how people are sharing this meme of encouraging kids that just started school to be kind to the kid that isn't making any friends, or if you see somebody getting bullied, which I feel is the inception of stopping school shooters before they start.
Oh my God, really?
I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because that's... it's be kind to the losers. That's basically what it's saying. And it's
I mean, that's what they said about that was the initial response to the Columbine shooting, was that these kids had been bullied and almost to make them into these underdog heroes. And it turns out one of them was just a stereotypical or textbook antisocial psychopath murderer who just manipulated the other kid into doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what happens, right?
Right. But we like to tell stories. And it's weird because that particular story makes the victims into kind of the bad guys.
Right. As it's they brought this on themselves.
Right. We have a hard time accepting the fact that deserve doesn't, in the words of The Unforgiven, deserve's got nothing to do with it. We always want deserve to have there to be the people have to have like deserved it, or there has to be like some explanation.
Right. That there can't just be evil that exists.
Yeah, just bad people. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And Miles, you pointed out this look at Trump supporters as an expression of this new trend.
Yeah, a need for chaos. Yeah. So these political scientists, they did like 6 surveys. They're European researchers, but they did 4 surveys in the U.S. where they interviewed over 5,000 participants, and 2 in Denmark with like somewhere around like 1,300. To kind of find, like, they had this theory essentially that there's a need for some people who are participating in politics or a democracy that are just looking for what they call chaos incitement, which is a strategy of last resort by marginalized status seekers. So what they're essentially saying is, like, you know, Trump has often just sort of tried to create this narrative that America is in chaos.
And, you know, like that started to build himself up to be like, look at these other presidents, they're failures. It's chaos. It's chaos. It's chaos. We need to change it. But they found that a lot of these people who have a need for chaos, they sort of get that out or express that need by just spreading like conspiracy theories and fake news and all this other stuff. And it's not necessarily because they're trying to spread their own ideology. It's just that their ideology is that they want to undermine the political establishment, elites, whatever, and try and get others inspired to be like, yeah, fuck this thing.
Right.
And before, I think a lot of times you could look at it as like, oh, these people want this specific thing. That's why they're tweeting this out. But they're, you know, as they look at it, they're like, no, these people really just do this, not even because they believe that it's true. Mm-hmm. They say, quote, for the core group, hostile political rumors are simply a tool to create havoc. So in the way they identified these people is that they found that the people who were like really into this sort of this drawn to chaos category, that they had affirmative responses to the following statements. I fantasize about a natural disaster wiping out most of humanity such that a small group of people can start all over. I think society should be burned to the ground. When I think about our political and social institutions, I cannot help thinking, quote, just let them all burn. We cannot fix the problems in our social institutions. We need to tear them down and start over. I just feel like destroying beautiful things.
Well, I relate to all of these statements.
Yeah.
I agree with all of them. I guess
which
I'm a Trump supporter.
Well, they say like a lot of these tied strongly to support for Trump and then even to Bernie Sanders to a lesser extent.
Right.
Because I mean, like these are vague in the sense that if you can see like, oh, we're this capitalist structure we live under like is not working. We need to let this shit burn. I mean, that's a thing we've even said about like fucking burn it down.
Yeah.
But it's very, very strong with people who identified as like supporting Trump.
Some of Trump's earliest supporters were these people who looked at like psychographic data that they had stolen basically from Facebook and were like, we've been tracking like political, like where people were in America politically. And right now it just spiked in terms of people who are ready for like an outsider candidate to come in and just basically flip the checkers table and, you know, just upend the game. And so that makes sense that like Bernie, who's coming in and like criticizing things from the outside, and also Trump, like both of these people who don't make sense to the mainstream media would come in and like have some success.
I mean, it shows it's at the very least there is a growing number of people who feel completely powerless in the system and now are can embrace just its total destruction.
I mean,
or other people just want to see it shook up.
Yeah, I mean, people have been wanting, you know, fantasizing about zombie apocalypses for
forever,
like decades now.
I remember when that was like the fucking every Urban Outfitters gift had something to do with the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Like zombie survival guide, which I read.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of simplifying things, I think there's something alienating and a little bit like a deep existential terror about the number of people there are in the world and like how big the world is that like people don't really like to kind of tangle with the idea that you're actually just one of, you know, 7 billion people.
That your life means nothing.
Right. Yeah. I think that fucks with people. And that's where, you know, a lot of our movies are about finding out that you're secretly the most important person on the planet, like in The Matrix or Harry Potter.
Right.
You know, like all these huge movies are just like, oh, it turns out I'm the only one who matters. Like, which is
fuck y'all.
Yeah. I think this whole movement is tapping into a very human like way of confronting that and just being like, holy shit. Like in America, especially, we don't deal with things by thinking about ourselves as part of a collective, or at least we don't do that well.
Oh, no
way. We don't make meaning about out of that.
That is a problem with a lot of people. They don't think, I mean, to quote George Costanza, we're living in a society.
Right.
And I think that's the problem is that a lot of people don't move with other people in mind and the day-to-day aspects. And that's what's frustrating. It's like a really good example of that is when you're driving and a bus tries to merge and you see how many people won't let a bus merge.
Right.
That drives me fucking crazy.
I'm always in the bus trucks.
Yeah.
I always see that where trucks are like in an exit lane and they're like, I have to get over or
and
merge.
And people are like, no,
like,
I have
fuck
to.
You.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's, it's gridlock traffic. And it's like, dude, what do you.
They're like
you,
2 seconds,
and
bro.
And it's a bus full of people. Let them in. I don't know. It's just, you see examples all the time. I mean, even like the stupid straw thing is ridiculous of like how we're banning straws, but like we can't, I don't know, can't ban plastic in general.
Right.
We're so dependent on that, but we want to get rid of these straws, which is proof that, like, nobody has any good ideas.
Right.
Well, yeah, and the ones that are would hold, like, too much of, like, the stakeholders at the top of industries accountable. Right. And they're like, no, don't bring that spotlight over here.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jay-Z trying to be like, let me fix the NFL. Yeah, and it's like, uh-huh. Dude, what are you doing?
They're like, bro, you look like a fucking sellout right now.
Yeah, I mean, he looks crazy. It's also, like, impossible to change what's going on in an institution that's been existing for so long.
Yeah, by handshaking with other billionaire plantation owners who are like, yeah, man. Yeah, we'll figure this out.
It's tough.
Yeah, even with that whole Jay-Z thing, part of me thinks, like, there could be the element that there is some kind of idea that he wouldn't just so foolishly engage with the NFL like that. And then part of me, we said this when the story first came out, we're like, part of me just knows he's a fucking hustler, dude. He's about that check. So he might really be like, no, fuck cap, dude. Fuck all this shit. That's a fucking deal I just signed.
Yeah.
He's a long-term guy.
Yeah.
When you think about how long he waited for Beyonce's virginity. He waited a long time for that.
Was she a virgin? No. Really?
Maybe.
I don't know.
She only had one other boyfriend before him, and she said she was saving it.
Yeah, but Beyonce would have that power. She's like, I'm a virgin.
I'm a virgin. Thank you so much for waiting.
Ooh.
It's me, Beyonce. I'm a virgin.
That's really
It's a blessing to be a virgin.
Holy shit. I can't believe Beyonce is here on
Thank you so much.
Day after her 38th birthday.
The Daily Zeitgate. How you say it? Daily Zeit. I don't know how to say that.
How's veganism working out for you?
It's good. I'm hungry. I couldn't eat my birthday cake. Jay-Z is crazy. But to your point, I do think he is someone who could easily be playing the long game and having the center be money. Like,
yeah,
right.
I mean, what is it? Compassionate capitalism, which is not a real thing.
Yeah. Right.
But I think that's kind of what he's justified for himself.
You don't become a billionaire by accident.
Yeah.
You become a billionaire by being a
ruthless animal.
Ruthless. Yeah. Predator.
As he said, you didn't start out from your trunk to reach the roof just to put the roof in your trunk.
Right.
That's poetic.
You know what I mean?
That's poetic.
Yeah, that's thank you.
Thank you so
and
much.
Also, as he said, Jay-Z in the range, crazy and deranged.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he told us he was crazy
from the beginning.
So, you know, I mean.
We're on the Ari Melber show.
That was relevant. The Ari Melber show is so, so whack.
As Jay-Z said, the streets is watching.
Oh.
I have 99 problems, but a B word is not one.
It's like, you should have just said it, Ari. Just say it.
Let's talk about something that's given me a little bit of hope. Now, there are two stories that seem to be going in the right direction for a change. So the Hong Kong riots are starting to get results, and
don't call them. I guess riots too. We shouldn't even call them riots.
Yeah,
that's pro democracy demonstrations.
Demonstrations.
Damn, Miles.
Well, because
revolutionary Miles.
I just don't like that shit.
That's actually one of their demands.
No, you're
right. That's one of the five demands is that they stop being called riots.
Right.
I was just calling them riots because
you're a white man and you like to oppress them.
Yeah. No, I was going to say because I side with the Chinese
government.
The Chinese government. Always. And in everything. Yeah, so the Hong Kong government caved on one of their demands.
Yeah, formal withdrawal of that extradition bill.
Right.
But they still got four more.
That started the demonstrations in the first place. But the other four demands are things having to do with how just horribly they handled the demonstrations.
I was reading this article about like how they were stopped using like WhatsApp and these other things that use the internet and more to like these mesh networks that use Bluetooth. So you're not using the internet at all.
That's
to
smart.
Be able to fucking just outsmart. I mean, it shows you like with technology and people, when there's a will, there's a way.
Was that because the authorities were kind
of monitor the internet, control the internet? They're like, well, fuck that, bro. Everybody toss your Bluetooth on.
Right.
And what it would do is like, if you're near the person, it works very quickly because it's just connecting that way. But if everyone is using it, it sort of daisy chains everybody's network. So like eventually it'll hop from phone to phone until it gets to the person you're trying to message.
Right.
And then you could also do just broadcasts like from your Bluetooth. That's not to anyone, but just general announcements.
Mm.
You know, technology.
I love that the people in Hong Kong have like proved how lazy Americans are.
Oh,
like we're worthless.
Right.
Yeah. There's just no
organizing. No.
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know, like again, our taste for oppression, we love it in a way. Like there isn't enough. I don't know what would have to happen where you get that kind of response. Yeah. In Hong Kong, they're not used to that shit.
Yeah.
So when they see police like clubbing people, they're like, what the fuck?
Sure. Right. Sure.
Here we're like, just like I was saying to you. We're like, you know what happens when the police come out? We just sort of, as a matter of fact, go, yeah, people get hit.
Yeah.
Right.
People get hit needlessly. People get attacked needlessly. And so that's just sort of like accepted. And I think the taste that we have, you know, it takes a lot to get people outraged.
Yeah.
Especially when you see that nearly a quarter of the population of Hong Kong was coming out.
Yeah.
If that's true, if nearly 1.7 million people did come out, y'all.
Right.
What the fuck? I mean, maybe I don't know. What is it? I really think it would be something like fucking... the internet went down or some shit. And they're
that's
like, you know what? Y'all get no more internet.
That's got to be it. Because when my internet doesn't work in my apartment, I fucking lose my mind.
You're just like, what
I'm
do
like,
I do?
It's a riot.
Right.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
I'm not reading this book. I'm not reading this stack of New Yorkers that keeps piling up.
So Boris Johnson in the UK tried to do some like strong arm shit and basically shut down Parliament. And... he got the Queen's approval, which I didn't realize there was like an official process that involved him going to get the Queen's sign off. Not cool on her part, I would say. She was just like, yeah, sure, whatever he says.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. UK's Ike Gang, put me on to everything that's happening here. I mean, I intellectually understand about a no deal Brexit, but there is so much going on just in the last couple of days with Boris Johnson taking an L on his first vote. And then suspending Parliament. But then I see a lot of people being like, no, this is just the beginning, man. There's a way to muck this up and have it be a full-on catastrophic no-deal Brexit.
Right. So, I mean, that's what he came in and basically tried to strong-arm him with a super razor-thin majority. He had one person, and that one person defected. And now he doesn't have a majority anymore. So now he... can't really do it.
Shout out to traitors everywhere.
Yeah,
any more of them. If you want to be a traitor to your party or your class, please.
All right. Weird side note on the Hong Kong demonstrations. They're apparently using Pepe the Frog, the symbol of white supremacists and, you know,
alt-right icon.
Yeah. They're using that to symbolize young protesters, basically. And there's no real explanation of how it took that journey. Just like, you know, I've said that the least reliable information you find anywhere is like word origins, because like words just take on new meaning. There's like no documentation. There's no way to document like how words change meanings. But this is another situation like that where our writer J.M. McNabb tried to figure out where this came from and like what the intent was, and there's no clear explanation, but it doesn't seem like there's any sympathies on the behalf of the young demonstrators with like the American right.
I know there was a moment where they saw American flags and Pepe memes and people were like, are they alt-right? But
right.
I know at the time a lot of that was like meant to be some kind of like outcry to the US to maybe like be like, hey, over fucking here, y'all.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, Pepe's just chill, you know, just brings in the youth.
Yeah, I guess.
The fucking weird ass frog.
Yeah.
It's just also just a hilarious image.
Right. It just sort of just seems,
That seems to be what they're saying is that, I mean, to begin with, Pepe was created as a funny looking stoner frog, and then the alt-right appropriated him. So, I mean, this is just people taking it back to... its origins as like
of a drawing
of a drawing. Yeah.
I think if there's one thing we do know though about Hong Kong protesters is that they're very concerned with just the preservation of Western civilization and white European culture.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
This sort of tracks with me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Uh-huh.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Apple has scrapped a show that they were developing.
Oh my God, so funny.
Yeah, with Richard Gere, which if you just read the description, you would not understand why they ordered this straight to series. Now, if y'all don't know about the business, okay, you might pitch something. They might say, hey, we'll order a pilot or we'll order a script or whatever. When you order something straight to series, you're just saying, based off this, what you're telling me right now, I want the show fully, it's paid for.
Take
let's
all
go.
My money.
It's a go.
It feels like all they saw was Richard Gere.
Right.
And then they were like, oh, yeah,
love
straight
it.
To series.
Love
it. Yeah, whatever. And then somebody read it afterwards and was like, wait.
So this series called Bastards, it's based on a popular Israeli series, but this one specifically, the adaptation for the U.S., was going to star Richard Gere as one, this is a description from the Hollywood Reporter, as one of two elderly Vietnam veterans and best friends who find their monotonous lives upended when a woman they both loved 50 years ago is killed by a car. Their lifelong regrets and secrets collide with their resentment of today's self-absorbed millennials, and the duo then go on a shooting spree.
Classic American television.
I mean, it does seem to be tapping into something, right?
The minds of lunatics?
Well, I think it's just sort of literally like this, the waning virility and power of white men.
Right. Yeah.
The show?
Yes.
But it's like...
And that entire generation.
Right. Based off of that, you're like, yeah, we like this. Shooting spree against young adults, young people in the country. Great.
Perfect.
But they knew what it was when they signed up. But then they started developing the show, and there was like a real butting of heads when Apple was like, we want to like focus on the bond of these two like non-vets rather than like the dark shit. And like the showrunner and like writers and producers were like, nah. It's got to be about the dark
shit.
All
white dudes, nah.
Nah, that ain't it. That ain't it, dude. It's about fucking shooting these avocado toast eating
circle
fucking,
jerk.
Yeah.
Into an AR-15 and then.
So the like they had to pull the plug. Apple pulled the plug and paid a hefty kill fee for stopping the show. But I just
thought, that is so crazy.
It's just odd when the description tells you everything you need to know, you still do it. And I think it kind of underlines all the problems Apple's been having with this TV, with their programming, because this isn't the first show that's had issues with their showrunners or the content.
It's so funny. It's like something like they were like, is this a newspaper? Like what? Because it's right. Just such a ridiculous story.
Right. Yeah. And I think I think with Apple, right, they make hardware.
Yeah.
So hardware doesn't have to have a political stance.
Hardcore wear.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're like, we do fucking content.
Hardcore content.
And that's where they're getting, I think that's where they're realizing like, ooh, where do we want to, like, are we really going to put our foot down on some things by saying this is the content we make or stand behind? It's easier when you're just making phones and watches that spy on you.
Yeah. Exploit workers.
Yeah.
Not just, stories.
Right. Exploit workers, not IP.
Wasn't Apple supposedly like really controlling when it came to developing shows?
Yeah, there was one story about a comedy show that like they basically took all the humor out of.
Right. They were like, there's too many
jokes. It's like really edgy, kind of edgy for us. That character's a person of color. Ooh. And is that okay?
So there's also a Kevin Sorbo movie that just released its first trailer. It's called The Reliant. It is basically Red Dawn with Antifa, and the premise is the left comes for your guns, and the way they come for your guns is by shooting you and your family.
Mm.
So
what the fuck?
The trailer ends
on bird with, scooters. Here comes the cavalry.
The Reliant, protect family and faith.
That's how is Kevin Sorbo still out here?
Because he's the only person. It's an interesting question because he.
Let's go back to 1998.
Well, but this seems to be something that's taking place right now where the right is just scrambling for either anybody who has a shred of relevance in, mm-hmm. you know, more mainstream culture that is created in towns where their viewpoints aren't accepted.
Where the libs are, just say it,
right.
Man.
Yeah. Or, so it's either a shred of something somebody said being used to be like, well, Dave Chappelle is our new hero and overlord. Or it's, you know, somebody who has a shred of credibility, like Kevin Sorbo.
What do you mean?
Like.
What credibility does he have?
He was Hercules, bro.
That's how low the bar is. They're like, the dude was Hercules.
Right.
I remember that Xena crossover episode.
Yeah. But he's been doing faith-based movies, I think, for a while now.
Okay, Kevin.
Protect family and faith, bro.
I mean, I guess Scarlett Johansson could be next.
That's what I'm wondering. Because
is she slowly think just going to be, she's like, hey,
I mean, she's really courting it.
She did say she likes Elizabeth Warren.
Right, but...
It doesn't mean anything.
That's true. But then is like...
That's like classic white feminism.
right.
Know? Yeah.
And then is like, but I will take a person of color's role.
Right.
Because fuck that.
I'm worried because I'm a tree, so she's trying to take my roles too. My tall ass tree, bitch.
Right. What was her latest... who she came
she
before
She supports
right now?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. said, I asked him directly, and he gave me direct answers, and I believe him. So.
Oh, my God.
There you have it.
That's it. Beautiful women are really useless. Just truly useless.
Was it specifically about all the allegations of like abuse, of child abuse? Because I was going to say, like, it could be one of those things. Like, I asked him what the special was today at this restaurant, and he was right, and I believed him. But it's straight up. You think she really asked those questions?
I like the idea of him admitting to her that he molested kids, and she's like, I believed him, and I still want to work with him.
Yeah, she's like, he admitted to it.
I believe that he did. Yeah. I believe him because he admitted to me that he did it, but I'm cool with it.
But you know, you just have these things on your bucket list you're trying to do. So is she already in a Woody Allen film? Probably.
I mean, she's in Match Point.
Oh, yeah. Right.
There was one movie, I think Scoop or something, where she was the Woody Allen. Like, you know how every Woody Allen movie has either Woody Allen or a Woody Allen corollary?
Yeah.
She was the Woody Allen corollary in one of them.
Oh.
Didn't work that well.
Iconic.
Yes. Let's talk about conversion therapy, guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
Conversion therapy is
I've done it. It's great.
So much better now. The urges are gone.
Yeah, all the urges are gone.
It's having a rough week. So the founder of one of the most prolific conversion therapy camps has recently made an announcement, and he has come out as gay and also said that conversion therapy is bullshit, essentially. It's a horrible thing to do to somebody, and it doesn't work.
Oh, wow.
I think we have a quote from him.
I told my wife, I'm like, you know, my attractions are worse than they ever were. I struggled more so trying to deny them than being able to accept my attractions and just say, you know, I'm a gay man. That's just hey. Me being honest.
There you go.
That must be,
I mean, this might seem like the most hilariously obvious turn of events possible, but then you get to the part of the story where they point out that almost 700,000 LGBT identifying adults have gone through some form of conversion therapy as of 2018. So, you know, these ideas that seem like they're hilarious and silly are hurting people.
How does the therapy work exactly? Do they just be like, those thoughts are bad, those thoughts are bad. Here are the strategies to when you have an urge or an attraction to pivot off of that and think of a woman's vagina.
Right. Yeah, I think it's just like trying to stop it at the like very outset of it sounds like. And then it sounds like it's like completely denying. I think, you know, in addition to just being completely backwards, it sounds like their idea is they don't take the idea that people aren't straight seriously.
That it's like, come on, get it together.
Right. They're just like,
they're like, that's gay.
They just treat it like it's a...
Well, and I'm sure what they do is treat it, especially because it's all, you know, religiously aligned. It's like, oh, no, that's an evil force that's within you.
It's Satan.
Right.
It sounds like it's
terrible.
It sounds like it's psychology as conceived by a, like, football coach. Where it's like, you just practice wanting chicks,
more
dude.
Push-ups, man.
Yeah.
You know what I used to do? I used to open up a Playboy, put that on the ground, and do push-ups and kiss it every time I went down.
Right.
Did 40 of those every time I thought of something not straight.
Right.
It's one of those things, too, that sucks because for the LGBTQ community, not just for the obvious reasons, but, like, it's so shitty how often people who are so closeted create so much harm within their own community because there's so much denial and hatred. Self-hatred about it, and it just perpetuates this shitty stereotype that if someone hates gay people that they are also gay.
Because
that's unfair to the gay community to
own
all these fucking
like,
assholes.
that's you yeah, Mike Pence is yours, or
yeah,
shit
exactly
like that.
It's like, it's so terrible that like, oh, these people who hate themselves so much are hating others because they too are gay. It's like, no, I mean, because there are some people who fucking hate gay people because they're so straight and so fucking stupid
right
and religious or whatever, And it just complicates it further, which is what's to me what's shitty about it for the gay community, because they're like, we don't want you, homie. you know?
We
don't want you a part of our group now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the thing we were talking about with Columbine. We're trying to make it more complex than it is. Mike Pence is just an asshole.
Yeah, turns out
he's not like, there's not this deep psychological thing. Oh, man.
Hates Mulan. Never forget that part.
Never forget that Mike Pence wrote, like, when he was a shock jock or whatever. Yeah, he was like a shock jock.
Or not shock jock.
Like a right-wing radio host. That's kind of how he launched his career, or relaunched it after he was a failed politician. One of his biggest, hottest, and most strongly felt, apparently, takes was that Mulan was not okay because the young lady in the picture was dressing as a man.
Yep.
And then
it'll weaken our military.
Fucked with him. Yeah.
I love all the hilarious topics you guys picked today. Really just enjoying myself.
Should we talk about Starbucks?
Oh, yes.
What happened at Starbucks? Well, I didn't get that far down in the dock.
Yeah, no, you want this one. Okay. This will lighten your mood after that.
I'll tell you if it lightens my mood.
Okay, good. Let me know. Do you go to Starbucks? First question.
Sometimes.
Okay. Do you have an order that you regularly have?
No.
What do you get? Just like black coffee?
Black coffee.
There you go.
Coconut milk.
Have you ever used the app to order?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, if anyone who's opened the app and just tried to order something as simple as black coffee, you will see the customization menu
right.
is fucking bananas.
It's,
the amount of shit you can just do to a fucking cup of water is just absurd. And apparently this has been causing a lot of problems for baristas because people don't know how to act with these customizations. So you can add syups, pumps of flavor syrup, fucking fruit, mashed fruit or whatever, right. fucking powders, milks, fucking the amount of ice, all this shit is in there. Well, now they're saying, look, We got to pull this shit back because y'all are going ham on these modifiers. And now they have to limit
before
modifiers.
Pumpkin spice season?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it might have been pumpkin spice season that occasioned this change.
Well, the whole deal is now, but this is the thing, gasp, they're limiting modifiers. You can only add the same ingredient only 12 times. So before that, people were going into the 20s
what
and 30s.
Does that mean?
So like you could be like, I want this shot, I want this drink plus 30 shots of espresso.
Okay.
Or I want
this. I think
this
it's like 30 shots plus, of vanilla syrup.
Yes, yeah. exactly. So these are some of the drinks people were ordering.
Okay, this will help.
A venti 9 shot, 1 pump mocha, non-fat, no whip with exactly 4 shakes of cinnamon. That's something you can do in the fucking app, okay? Here's another one.
I mean, 9 shots makes some sense to me. I mean, that's just added caffeine. That's just extra coffee.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. Let me get more of scene.
Are you guys fighting right now?
How about this? A cold brew, 10 pumps vanilla, 5 pumps caramel, 5 pumps classic syrup, 5 pumps more of caramel, 5 pumps white mocha, whole milk, coconut milk, heavy cream, almond milk, sweet cream, cinnamon, vanilla powder, sweet and low.
What the fuck
stevia,
is wrong with this
Splenda,
person?
Sugar, dark chocolate curls, and extra whipped cream.
See, that's what happens when you're not getting enough pumps in your pussy.
To start ordering this
wild
shit.
Yeah, you need other shit in your life to help you make you feel better, but that's ridiculous.
That really feels like somebody who's taking advantage of the freebies and shit. They're like, you know what? I should put all that shit in there. Like, I don't care if it's...
It just sounds like a sad Karen.
Yeah, it will melt your teeth.
I mean, yeah.
The teeth, I just worry about people's dental health. I worry about insulin spikes, diabetic shock just happening straight up in the drive-thru. Another one, the thing that was the most absurd to me was called the 2020. Someone just get a grande with 20 pumps vanilla, 20 pumps hazelnut.
I was hoping it was Barbara Walters, John Stossel themed. And not something
that. Old
that
school, her and Hugh Downs.
I'm Hugh Downs.
But yeah, 2020 is, what the
fuck? That's crazy.
That's not even a thing that I feel is drinkable.
This is what people do when they don't have a personality.
Right?
They have no culture.
Well, I think it.
No
this
sense
is
of
a culture,
self.
A 2020.
Yeah. I think this is straight up addiction. Like, I think
this is
sugar.
Yeah, sugar addiction.
Like, straight up, sugar being like the thing that kind of, you know, it's like the rat hitting the lever until you get all the pellets.
But what do you think sugar pumps withdrawal looks like? Somebody who's sick off coming off sugar.
I mean, it's a lot of headaches.
Right.
It's a lot of just like not feeling like yourself. Right,
like no appetite.
Because I took myself off of sugar addiction like years ago. And it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Well, because I was just like, you got to understand, my metabolism has been fucking great.
It looks
since I was a kid.
It moves at the speed of the Millennium Falcon.
It really does. So I could just eat whatever the fuck I want. Right. And sugar was like top. And it still is. Like, if I could have donuts to every meal, I would.
Oh.
I really would.
Favorite donut?
Oh, God. Crueler. Probably.
Wow.
And it depends. Classy. On that. Yeah, it's so good.
Wait, so what were you at your darkest moment with the sugar?
Just like no water and just drinking soda.
Wow.
Like that was my water, was drinking soda. And
favorite soda?
Coca-Cola Classic.
All right.
If I'm feeling spicy, get a little cherry Coca-Cola.
Ooh.
But yeah, that's what, so, and I still struggle with it, but it's part of why like I get my coffees with just milk is because I was starting every day with like tons of sugar in my coffee.
Right.
You can't start your day with that shit.
Yeah.
You know, caffeine already is bad enough, but that sugar shit, it's tough. But like, because I also get migraines in general. Right. So like when I started getting off, I mean, I lost 10 pounds almost immediately. And I didn't realize it was just like the sugar. That's all it was.
Right. Like, yeah, the sugar just got off your body.
Yeah, it just got off my body. And so those withdrawals are tough. And even now, I'm like, oh, I need to eat sugar. And I'm not diabetic, which thank God.
Right.
It's seriously thank God because I should be. And I actually got tested, which was funny because every time I'm like, can I just get my blood tested? They're like, you're skinny. You're fine. I'm like, that's not how anything works.
Right.
Fucking idiot.
You should
fine.
See me. Here, look at this montage.
Yeah. And
a doctor? Yeah. Just take my fucking blood,
what's your
please?
Secret, Ma? I'm sorry. What the fuck? Yeah. I'm here because I have bad headaches. Okay. Go ahead. Go off. Queen.
And I like made them test my blood. But, you know. But that's the other thing is that like people, if you, especially if you're not, if you don't quote look diabetic, people will really dismiss you.
Sure.
And I was like, no one's going to help my sugar addiction except me. Like nobody cares, because also the only thing that I would get is, which I do have now, is acne. And it's one of those things where people are like, oh, that's it? Good for you. That's a blessing. And I'm like, that's still not, my body's still reacting negatively to this consumption. And yeah, so I think, people just have an unhealthy sugar addiction. And it's also like, it's easy to dismiss sugar addiction because it's not opioids, it's not booze, it's not drinking and driving.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Just like, oh, having sugar.
It's not affecting my job negatively.
Right, you know even though you're a bitch at work, Karen.
Right.
Fix that.
They're like, we're out of stevia!
Yeah.
Just screaming. But you know what? Worry it's not hard. For people who are, if your order is a 2020, you can still get that embarrassing ass drink. You just have to order it in person and say it out loud in front of other people at a Starbucks.
That's a great way to shame people into reducing their sugar intake.
Well, that was a theory a lot of baristas had who were they interviewed when they were talking about this. They were just like, you see it more in the app because they feel like those people don't have to go and tell a human being, hi, I would like a 10-pump vanilla, 5-pump caramel, 5-pump classic syrup, 5-pump mocha, whole milk, coconut.
It's crazy.
Yeah, people would be like, what the fuck?
See, shame is good.
Yeah.
We do need to bring back a little bullying in schools.
Yeah. Just let you know, at least get feedback from the outside world.
Feedback. That's what we call bullying. Feedback.
Yeah, that's what, thank you to the woke bully.
Yeah.
You rebranded it as feedback.
I've got some feedback for you.
So I got some feedback.
Push them down.
Got this feedback for you. What the fuck is this outfit?
Right.
That's funny. I'm going to write a bit about that.
Feedback. Nice. Right, thank you.
I got some, mom, dad, I got some bad user feedback at work.
I got terrible feedback at school.
Today.
Was it from Marcella?
Yes. Is
your teacher, Marcella?
Is that we have those screens? Your teacher. It was Miss Arguello again.
Oh, shit.
She said, I walk dumb.
You walk
Well, Jimmy,
dumb,
you
bitch.
Do walk dumb.
Look at your pigeon-toed ass, man. Get the fuck out of here.
Ooh, I was pigeon-toed when I was a kid.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I went to a wedding, and somebody's mom put them on blast that they were pigeon-toed. It was hilarious. No, and nobody knew because we like knew him as an adult.
Right.
So we didn't know that he was pigeon-toed as a kid, and she hella put
just
him
went
on
in?
She went in on him.
Was this during
but
the toast?
But it was like very sweet. Yeah, they were giving speeches, but it was like free speech. It was just open speeches, which is fucking ridiculous.
That shit happens a lot at weddings.
I hated
when
it.
When it's just nonstop.
There are sometimes when it's like a fucking bad open mic.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh shit, you know what? Maybe I would like to say something too.
Yeah.
Like, no. The stepfather doesn't need to say something again.
Yeah. And most people don't talk well.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's
and
really...
it's like very circular too, because everybody's fucked up at that point. Like, you know, I just want to tell everybody, when I look at these kids, I've just been, just feel a lot of love
their
for them.
Their back turned to the whole room.
Exactly. Like, and I got a lot of hope, and I feel like just you look around, everybody's rooting for you guys, and we're gonna, we just got a lot of love for you guys. And you know, no matter what, no matter what, just look into each other's eyes. I don't know. Yeah.
You're too good at this.
You guys know he's so good at drunk guys.
Because it's my favorite shit. There is the other thing though too that you said that
get
reminded
your finger
me
out of my face.
Just finger waving. See, I don't know. It's this caffeine. Yeah. Is the it's like at
pumps.
Weddings when like family members go in so hard on the people that are getting married and you have no idea.
Right.
I saw. I'm not gonna name names because I think these people might listen to the show. Yo, I saw someone's sibling do a whole fucking song about how they shit themselves.
Right.
And I was like, yo. That's fucking wild. This was like at a rehearsal dinner.
Oh my God.
If they listen, like, you know they're going to know.
Yeah, they're going to know.
That's not a thing that happens at a lot of weddings.
I went to a wedding on Friday, and the bridesmaid, best whatever the fuck that shit is called, the best woman, she...
Maid of honor.
The maid of honor. I think best woman is a better
best term. Woman is better.
And the best woman was like giving her speech, and she was like, and then they went... through that breakup, and we all, because we're all comedians, we all booed. We're all like, boo! Because he broke up with her, we're like, boo!
Oh, nice. Damn.
And she, like, really talked about their break, because they had, like, a big breakup. And I leaned over to my friend who was there, and I was like, girl, don't ever, if I ever get married, and if you give a speech, don't ever bring up the bad times.
Yeah.
Don't bring up the bad times. That's not what the wedding
not
is
even
about.
If you're trying to juxtapose that with how far we've come.
Yeah,
just
leave
that bad times? Sure.
Just breeze over
I mean, we remember.
I think we all remember.
Oh, remember when we called you the Zan Man?
Whoa.
You blacked out in the Vegas Strip. Shout out to the Kid Mero. But yeah, oof. Yeah, weddings are... There's some good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zeit Gang, let us know if you've ever seen a parent or a relative single-handedly nearly bring down a wedding with a speech.
My dad was talking about a speech he saw at a wedding recently where they talked about like how quickly the woman slept with the guy.
And that, my God.
And that like weighed into like how like he knew.
Oh, my God.
Like, and that's how I knew that like... Very strange.
That my son was marrying a whore.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But she was pretty chill. Hell yeah.
She also slept with me and your mother. I don't know if you know that, yeah. But...
things got wild in Tempe.
Oh, man.
Tempe. It's definitely in Tempe. Well, shit. Marcella, it's always so much fun having you.
Thank you. I have a tweet. I have the tweet to share.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course you do. I usually... ask you first where people can find you.
Oh, at MarcellaComedy.com and at Marcella Comedy on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a new series called You Welcome on allthingscomedy.com. It's basically me. It's like a talk show, but it centers women comedians, and we just talk about like pop culture and politics and just anything we want to talk about. It's basically this show, but funny.
Oh, great. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah, you're welcome. You welcome. Okay. So check it out on YouTube and allthingscomedy.com.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes. Sorry, I'm like jumping over.
No,
that's okay.
Cues. I'm doing your job for you.
Please.
I'm here to replace you.
And do it.
Okay, there's this chick I just started following. Her name is Dana Donnelly.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
We all follow her. Yo, she came out the shadows.
So out of funny, shadows.
Man. Yeah.
She's so funny.
Her tweets, I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, how has she not been on this show?
I love a shit-talking woman who's pretty and smart and dumb.
And
I
funny.
Love
yeah.
that. Like, that's my so favorite.
Her voice is so pinpoint locked in. I'm like, I know exactly the world you're coming from.
She is doing Women Crush Wednesdays on an upcoming date, I believe in October. I run her weekly in Los Angeles if you want to come to that.
Yeah.
But the tweet that I enjoyed this week, sure, I may not be great in big group conversations, but get me one-on-one, it's so much worse.
I know. That is... So funny. I also liked that. That was an amazing tweet.
She's so funny.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
There wouldn't happen to be a tweet you've been enjoying.
Yeah, also Dana Donnelly.
Yeah,
really?
I'm just gonna do it. Yeah, because I've every day I check her feed.
Every day she's so funny.
Because there's always something good. Here's a few of them. I bought a UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade. I bought a UCB hoodie for $45 as a, quote, joke, which sadly is actually the least amount of money anyone's ever spent at UCB to not be funny.
Oh, boy.
Fucking flamed. One more. A 33-year-old man I dated clarified to me that his parents do not, quote, give him money. They simply provide him with, quote, startup capital because his writing career is, quote, an investment opportunity. And I apologize for making assumptions. Oh, man.
That's pretty good.
She's great.
We got to have her on. We're going to have her on.
You should have her on. I think she, I was watching some of her stand-up clips. She's pretty funny. She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Very locked in. Couple tweets I've been enjoying on the, Ivanka Trump is wearing a...
A dress
with like big
sleeves
that they almost sleeves? Look like cones.
What is this?
And Langston Kerman tweeted,
I saw that
the vet
tweet.
Put cones on her arms to keep her from jerking off her father.
Oh my god, wait, that's for real?
yeah, that's a real dress. Outfit.
How the fuck is that even a. What the?
It's avant-garde.
Mm.
I thought I was on drugs looking at that. What the? It looks like, what's that flower? Anyway.
And then Brian Yang at Brian Yang.
Oh, God, I love Brian Yang.
In response to the Scarlett Johansson defending Woody Allen story, someone trying to play Sun Yi in the Woody Allen biopic.
Brian is so funny. We started in NorCal together. He's great.
Is he out here in LA?
Oh, he's in New York. He's super funny.
We got to have him out when he comes.
Yeah, you should. He'd be great on here.
You can find me on Twitter, Jack_ O'Brien.
No one asked.
It's true.
Just some feedback, Jack.
Yeah, just some feedback.
Just a note. From the woke bully.
Some feedback, Jack. I'm going to start saying it just like that. Hey, after I push someone, Jack. Just a little feedback, Jack.
Yeah.
She just slid you a note that said, shut the fuck up.
A little feedback, Jack.
Hey. In the comment box.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on.
We'll do a track by Injury Reserve, a rapping trio who sound like 90s rap that I love.
Yeah.
I'm always into people who are, you know, down with that golden era. This track is called Three Man Weave. Another thing, if you ever played basketball ever, you knew how to do the three man weave.
Yeah. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
This remind a nigga of high school. No repercussions for the shit that I do. Check it, yo. My biggest worries were missing a free throw. Now me, Grimes, and Pete doing the three-man weave, though. Well, I was too pretentious for some egos. Then Fonte made a song with Lil B-Love. Check it, yo. Shit changed, that's some shit that we know. Now me, Grimes, and Pete doing the three-man weave, though. This remind a nigga of high school. No repercussions for the shit that I do. Check it, yo. My biggest worries were missing a free throw. Now me, Crocs, and Pete doing the three-man weave.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.